Matthew 28, verses 18. Matthew 28:18.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now remember, we said when you hear the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that is a word you wouldn't find any other place in the scriptures. Brought together, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? You didn't find it anywhere again. Glory to God. But for other accounts, we know that when he says the name of baptizing them, he actually meant baptizing them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God. So we won't find them. So it's not a Bible doctrine. You know, love, single mention, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Look at that. He said, go. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth comes to play again. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we said last week that faith, you know what is faith? Belief, right? Faith in God, right? Now, faith. Okay. Faith is not substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We've passed that level, right? Right? We've gone past that, right? And now listen to understanding the gospel 1 and I mean 2a and 2b. Right? So faith is, now is the definite, that is not the definition of faith, but that was what faith was to them in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. The sovereign of things hope for what God will do, meaning that he will raise up Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. So when we say faith in God, it means belief, right? Right? Pistis, right? Hallelujah. Believe in what? In God. God's word will get to know that soon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So faith in God, which is belief, right? And belief will translate to what? The new birth, right? So we said faith in God makes heaven and earth possible. Is that true? Okay. Faith in God makes heaven and earth possible. Faith in God makes heaven and earth united, not money. Hallelujah. It's heaven and earth united. Hallelujah. I know what heaven and earth united means. Trust me. You can hit your head on the wall. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, heaven and earth united is the new creation. Heaven and earth will be in the same place. Moses tabernacle. Hallelujah. So we said, this is what the believers will be taught. What? This reality. That heaven and earth are in the same place. Heaven will symbolize God, where God dwells. So heaven and earth, which is God indwelling man. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So this is what the disciples will be taught. The reality of the new birth. The disciples will be taught the reality of the new birth. Faith in God and what? Love to all men. Is that the reality of the new birth? Yes. Hallelujah. Faith in God and love to all men. They will flow together. Glory to God. So this is why Jesus will not tell them in verse 20. He said, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. All things that I have commanded you. So last week we saw that what he commanded them is what? Faith in God, right? And love to all men. That was what he commanded them. But we'll get to look at that. We're going to see that again. But we dwelt last week on what? Faith in God, right? We dwelt on faith in God. We saw that in John 14, verse 1. Believe in God, right? Right? That is, believe in me. Glory to God. So the believe in God is believing in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They say if you love me, you will keep my commandment, and my Father will love you. I will come and make our abode in you. So faith in God makes that abode possible. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So that's what he commanded them. So today we'll look at
on what he commanded them, and we saw that what he commanded them is actually faith in God and love to all men. Remember, that was what he told them is the summary of the words of the law, right? Of the Torah, the words of the prophets. We'll get to see that also. Matthew 22, verse 14. Matthew 22, verse 14. I'll start from verse 36. After I was done dealing with the Sadducees, the Pharisees came. Verse 36. He said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" They asked him, "What is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus responded in verse 37. Remember, we said Jesus will quote who?
Moses.
So that question they asked him, the answer is in Moses. Did you get that? What Jesus' response was, Jesus responded for Moses. And yesterday I told you, you cannot, as a believer, you cannot run away from Moses. To run away from Moses, run away from your salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 37. Jesus commanded and said, "You shall love the Lord your God." That is what chapter 37, right? "With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." He's reading Deuteronomy chapter 6. "You will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Did we read that into the Ten Commandments last week? Yes, we did. Right? We read that if you look at the Ten Commandments again, we will further break it down again. Hallelujah, but for now. Now, we look at the Ten Commandments again. You saw that it divided into two, basically. Love for God and love for all men. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. So he said, "You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Where is he quoting from? Moses. He answered in verse 8. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting Leviticus. He's quoting Leviticus again. Leviticus 19:18. Are you hearing me? So he said the second is like unto the first. And we concluded last week that Jesus didn't say there are two laws. No. He said it's just one. He said the first and the great commandment is what? Love the Lord your God. Which is what? Faith in God. Which is belief. Right? Was that what we said last week?
Yeah.
Yes. And when he said the first, he's not talking, when he used the word first, it's the word proton. Proton is not used for number one or number two or number three or number four. No. Are you hearing me? Proton is used for a model. That which other things follow is like a model. Just the same way you call Jesus the first begotten is the prototokos, meaning the one, he is the model son. I hear me? He is the model son. So, when you hear the word proton, it doesn't necessarily mean one or two or number three or number four. No. Also, it just means this is the model. This is. See what I mean? So, every other thing is going to take shape from this one. So, that is why, in talking about the second, he said the second is like unto the first, meaning the second proceeds from the first. I hear me? Hallelujah. And we saw last week, okay, we're going to get that. So that second and proceeds from the fourth is actually what? The how do we call it? I know it's not the truth. I'm trying to use the word snatch. I'll simplify for those who were not here last week. It's just like, because of this thing happens. You understand? Because of this ought to happen. We read from Ephesians chapter 2. Right? Salvation is a free gift. Right? It's a free gift. You don't labor to receive salvation. We saw that salvation is totally God's work. Totally is God's work. Man didn't put anything. So God was both the offering, the offerer. Right? He offered the lamb. He is the lamb. He's the one that still offered. Do you understand me? Do you understand? So he's the offering, offerer. What other word is it? No, he didn't accept it. So he's the offering, offerer, and the one that offered. Hallelujah. So when did he offer it? In our heart. Do you understand me? So he's the offering, offerer, and the one that offered. So what did man do?
Believe to receive.
Hallelujah. So emphatically, man didn't have to put any label. Man only had to believe in the work of redemption. Are you following me?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you following me? Now, but in believing in the work of redemption, that man becomes born again. There's a work. Right? Right? Yeah. Are you following that? There's a work. So we said salvation leads to the work in salvation. Right? A work. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So that, so when you hear the second is like unto the first, meaning the second proceeds from the first. Meaning the dutros, that's the word, the second. Dutros. Dutros is someone who has the word Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, just like Moses will write Deuteronomy after Exodus. Yeah, Moses will write Deuteronomy. Why would Moses write Deuteronomy after Exodus? These things are, you see, you know, when you begin to understand by these hypnotics, you begin to understand why things are. Tell us how Moses will write Deuteronomy after Exodus because just Deuteronomy after Exodus because the Exodus will be the moving away from. That's an Exodus will mean moving away from. Are you following me? Leviticus will explain what I'm moving away from is. You know that Numbers will now be their own belief. Are you following me? So, let's just flow like this. Let's leave Leviticus Numbers for now. Hallelujah. Okay. So, Exodus will be the moving away from. From where? From Egypt, right?
Yeah.
So, Egypt will simplify, will imply the flesh. So, Exodus will be the moving, will prefigure from the flesh to the spirit. If you hear from the flesh to the spirit, if you have been attending pneumaticals classes, you understand Romans chapter 8. He said, as many as are led by the spirit. That being led is not what we call today, you know?
You know what I mean.
I led by the Spirit of God. At the heels. Hey!
Keep quiet.
Hallelujah. You know when you are heels, you're no longer in Nepi. You are now, you've moved from the state of being in the heels. You are now the Technon. From the Technon. You are now on the heels.
Keep quiet. Hallelujah.
No. As many as are led. Hallelujah. You know that? Say, are you still in Nepi?
Calm down, calm down.
You know, you shouldn't see when you come to church, it's not for you to get excited. But you are in church and you are, it's just this, just that you're not learning anything. You must be critical, you are learning. As many as are led. That word led is the word ago. Ago in the Greek means to bring forth. Now, when Paul was writing that as regards the new birth. Now he's telling you that as many as are led by the Spirit. Remember, he has told them in verses 9, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in you. So he's not telling them that that indwelling of the Spirit is called the leading. Do you understand me? So that indwelling of the Spirit in verse 9 is the leading of the Spirit. So he said, that is what makes you sons because the Spirit dwells in you. It's not a height in sonship. Don't worry, we'll discuss. We are going to discuss adoption of sons. So it's not a height. So there's a height in sonship. I passed the stage of being in Nepios. I became a Technon. You know, I stayed 3 years as a Nepios. Keep quiet. Glory to God. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No. We are sons. Are you hearing me? We are sons. We are heels. Glory to God. So he said, as many as are led by the Spirit. Now that living is the indwelling, right? Whatever I said. And that indwelling makes us sons. Glory to God. Are you following me? Okay. Okay. So when Moses writes and he prefigures, writes Exodus, it shows you that living teaching, it shows the movement or the leading from the flesh to the spirit. Hallelujah. Did you get that? If you now read Colossians 1:13, it says he has translated us where in verse 12c, he says in the light. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. So that translation is not, remember I said, it's not a carrying in the hands and say, let's go now. We are leading, we are going out of darkness, we are basking out. No. That indwelling is that leading. That indwelling is that translation. Do you understand me? That indwelling is that translation. Are you following me? I remember I said it's a one for all time experience. That indwelling. Glory to God.
Amen.
So Moses will now write the Exodus to prefigure. Now can you now see Moses is writing history, but it's using the history to write about what? Salvation realities. So Moses will write about the fact that they will live. He will document for you what happened in history to tell you about salvation. Hallelujah. So why would Moses write the fact that they left Egypt to Israel? Is that they must also that they can discover their ancient landmark? No. It's so that you see salvation stories. You see salvation in the story. Did you see that? So there will be salvation there. So Moses will now write Egypt to Israel. Egypt, out of Egypt, to show that there will be movement by the Spirit. So Moses will now use that writing to prefigure what will happen in the new birth. That there will be a leading away from the flesh to the land. Which land is that? What is the land? The Spirit. So from the flesh to the land. So the promised land is not Canaan. The promised land is the Spirit. Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now Moses will write that. Then Moses will now write Deuteronomy. Why will he write Deuteros? Because the second is like unto the first. Deuteronomy will not be to show them how they would behave themselves in the land. When you get to the land, you know that he's not going to follow them to the land. So you now write to them. This is how you would act when you get to the land. You know what I mean? This is what you would do. This is how you would walk. This is how you would walk. This is how you would do. And all you wrote to them in Deuteronomy was love. If you get to Deuteronomy and you're reading Deuteronomy out of love, then you're reading out of context. So you will not write to them love. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. Yes, I hope that in coming years, in the years to come, we will have to look at this book of the Bible. Hallelujah. In the years to come, I didn't say this year, I didn't say next year. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we'll get to look at the Bible. Hallelujah. We'll look at scripture. We'll go from Genesis to Malachi. Then we'll go from Matthew to Revelation. We'll look at it together. We'll have a study of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In years to come. Hallelujah. It's a long haul. Hallelujah. So Moses will write to them Deuteronomy to show how they should behave themselves. How to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Look at Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Are you following me? Everybody, are you following me? Glory to God. Ephesians 2 verse 8. He said, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of your own selves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is gift. Salvation is gift. It's the gift of God. Hallelujah. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Meaning in salvation, your works is not included. So you can't boast. No. Hallelujah. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Did you see that? They are works in salvation. Hallelujah. Salvation does not require work, but they are works in salvation. He now said, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So meaning in salvation there's a work. Hallelujah. So Paul is telling us that salvation produces work. Hallelujah.
So when you look at that word that we should walk in them, that word walk is the word peripatio.
Or we call it peripatio. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. Peripatio. When that word is used to show one's effort. When that word peripatio is used to show the person being spoken of as the subject matter, his effort. Are you hearing me?
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing me? To show the subject matter's effort. So when he says this, it therefore means that this work will deal with my effort and my consciousness. This work, which is the work in salvation, will deal with my what? My effort and my consciousness. I must be conscious of it. You cannot walk in salvation. You cannot walk outside your consciousness, outside your effort. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. I just decide. Okay, let me just use one. Let's go for evangelism. Say, we win the nations, We are mounting up with beings as eagles. We're going from street to street. You see, to street, we're preaching the gospel. The whole of Matthew, when we hear Christ, you are sitting on top of the bed. 1 month, you set inside. And say, the whole of Matthew, when we hear Christ, yes, it will happen. It will still happen. And you're inside. You are not conscious. There's no effort. The effort is what? You stand up, you take your Bible, right? And you hit the street. It will happen. The Lord is raising disciples. Men are full of power. What you have is a rule. Some of you are just funny. Hallelujah. He said, we, in the body of Christ, we are apostles. So as apostles, we don't pray. It's conk. Conk. They don't say knock and conk. Conk. The kind of one that is your mother conk. Mothers have skills in conking. Not knocking, conking. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Okay. So, walk this with effort and consciousness.
Have you conked before that you hold the head for 30 minutes? You cannot, you'll not be able to fathom the cry. Just like, you'll be quiet and then begin to come out little by little. You can't cry it once.
Hallelujah.
That is conk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's how we teach her then. If she conks you, you just shout. The cry will not be coming out in beat. Cry for you will receive my love. Glory to God.
Permit me, let us go ahead. Just like the prophet will write.
Okay, let's go ahead. So, just like the prophet will write and prophesy for Moses. Right? We saw that yesterday. So, you see why he was here now. You see why the topics are together. Now, the prophet, we say the prophet will write and prophesy for Moses, right? Now, just as they will prophesy and write for Moses, Jesus and the apostles too will explain from who? Moses. Luke 24, 25 to 27. He came to them and told them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." He said, "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things that went into his glory?" He said, beginning at Moses. And all the prophets, what did he do? He expounded, meaning Jesus will explain from Moses. He said, these are the words in verse 34, which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. Meaning what he spoke to them while he was still with them in the flesh is what? The words of Moses, the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. Are you hearing me? So Jesus will speak for Moses. Just like Jesus and the prophet arrived for Moses. So let's see how Jesus will instruct concerning these. And also what their epistle. And what Jesus will instruct concerning this is what the apostles will write on. They will expand on it. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus will write concerning the doctors. Hallelujah. Okay. Take note. The doctors will flow from the what?
from the proton, right? The deuterons will flow from the proton. And where would that come from? From whom? Moses. Are you hearing me? So Jesus was quoting Moses. Moses, Exodus, and Deuteronomy. Are you hearing me? Are you following that? Okay, look at John 15:34. John 15. I'm thinking this is supposed to be John 13. But let's look at John 15. John 13:34. He says, a new commandment and tole. A new commandment. Teaching them to observe all the things which I have commanded, meaning this will be part of it. Right? And we say the commandment is not plus one. He said, these are the words which I spoke to you. I mean, what am I going to say? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, what is Jesus talking about? Say, by this men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus is talking about, see, he's using present tense to talk about a future event. He's talking about the future event, the present tense. So by this you will know you are my disciple. He's talking about post-resurrection realities. Hallelujah. So what he says to them is they will find it as a as the believers walk in the new birth. What he says to them here, it's just like in Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6. Something similar. Look at Matthew 6 quickly. We're coming back to John. Look at Matthew 6. Similarly, he did the same thing. He said the same thing to them. No, Jesus will speak about the resurrection. Eh? With present tense. As though it has happened or is happening. But it's something that will happen. Look at Matthew 6, verses 9. Saying, this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, say, hallowed be your name. Okay, let me start from verse 8. He said, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. You know, when you use the word Father, they are not yet born, they are not yet believers, so they can't, God cannot be their Father. Do you understand? Are you following that? But he says that because of what? He's talking post-resurrection. Said your Father knows what the things you have need of before you ask him. It's not, oh, my Father, God knows I need a car. No. What is the need that they have of? You read down. Don't be a sentimental reader. Then I said, what you need? Promotion. He will give you promotion. What you need is, he knows what you need. When you're not going to start. Okay, let's continue. He said, this man now therefore pray. Say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. What? He says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven and earth comes again, but that's what we're looking at. Say, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debt. This is what you have need of. The daily bread. Which is the what? The forgiveness of sin. Did you get that? That is the need in verse 8. Are you following that? Uh-huh. Glory to God. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Take note of that word. Give us this day our daily bread. Look at how he uses that word. Give us this day. I see. You should not say, oh God, give me daily bread. No. He uses the word daily bread as eternal life. Are you hearing me? Daily bread. Christ's bread is his life. Hallelujah. I am the bread of life. You have to get down to John to see that. I'm the bread of life. He that eats of me will not be hungry. Hallelujah. He talks to the woman at the well and said, I'm the living water. Hallelujah. Did you get that? You need to understand those tenses. The water of Christ, the bread of Christ, are what is his spirit in the new birth. That is eternal life. I am so here, yeah, the bread of Christ. So Jesus will use bread as eternal life. Are you following me? Glory to God. He that eats of me will never die. If I was like that, glory to God, would never die. So Jesus, I mean, the daily bread is eternal life. So when he says this day, give us this day our daily bread. So remember, we said daily bread is what? Eternal life. That is the word enfusiao. That word enfusiao means, that word enfusiao we use for daily is the word that means tomorrow's bread. Give us, so it's kind of say, give us tomorrow's bread today, or give us the bread that lasts forever today. That's what Jesus said. So automatically, you will be asking for a loaf of bread. Well, yeah, give us tomorrow's bread today. So he's talking about a bread that lasts forever. I've asked someone to use this to give me admonition. He said, you know, you need to go out to look for daily bread. Your daily bread. Even the Bible says, give us this our daily bread. They do not fall. Say the days of man are over. You go out, you need to go out and look for daily bread. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So you see, it's funny. You know, people use scriptures, but we don't understand the part where you use the word enfusiao. It means tomorrow's bread today. Are you following that? So now they give us this day. Now what is this day? Look at what Jesus is writing. Or he has a writing. This is what Jesus is speaking. He will use present tense to talk about what he will do in the future. Now they give us this day. The word this day is a word you will find similarly in John 2 in the wedding of Cana. He says, woman, my hour has not come. Look, some people say, when you have a problem, you don't know how to meet Jesus, you get to the mother. When you get to the mother will look at the son and say, son. And the son will say, yes, mama. Yes, mama, I'm here for you, mama. Woo! You need to be in the Baptist church to do that, you know.
Did I say that?
I'm sorry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when you have a problem, you know, you run to the mom. Who is the mama in your life? You have a papa, but you need a mama. A mama that will beckon you, and you will say, oh, the madness is over. You run to the mama. Come back. So we could preach that too, you know. And you just said, oh, Pastor, tell me, you know, you don't treat your mama anyhow. Woo, woo, woo. Glory to God. So just like the wedding of Cana, Jesus, now the Bible says there was no wine. Now Jesus will not use that event to speak about humanity problem. When he said there was no wine, Jesus admitted that there was no wine because truly man was without the new wine. What is the new wine? The Spirit. So automatically, when the mother said there is no wine, Jesus concurred, there was really no wine. Man was discovered. We're going to talk about Christ consciousness. Hallelujah. Look at the way Jesus would respond. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when the mother pressed and said, woman, what have I to do with you? Right? Say, my hour has not come. He is not saying, my hour for miracle has not come. If you read that, my hour for miracle has not come, then that means you are not far from those who say you beckon on the mama. The mama will call the son, and the son will say, mama, thank you for bringing me back from my madness. Ooh. No, you're not far from them. Hallelujah. Because he said, no, the mama is important. You know, and the ministry without the mama is the ministry without the leader. I've forgotten that word. You have a papa, but you need a mama. Not to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So when he says my hour has not come, what it means is that when he says my hour has not come, he's talking about the time when man will now have the new wife has not yet come. That is the hour of his resurrection.
Do you understand? Because it's at the resurrection that man will have the new wine.
So you say, woman, my hour has not come.
Are you hearing me? So from the wedding of Cana, he went into the temple. Or the next place we find him from John's writing is in the temple. And he was right in the middle of the temple. And he tells them, destroy this temple, I will build it in 3 days. I need to understand some things here. He's speaking about the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you following that?
Yeah.
Glory to God. He speaks about the resurrection. John 2:19 speaks about the temple of his body. So Jesus will use things around what is common to men to speak about the resurrection. So when you get to Matthew 6 and they say, give us this day, this day will be his day. What will be his day? The day of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you hear, give us this day, that is the day of salvation. Man will receive eternal life. Man will receive the bread of life. Are you getting it? Glory to God. So when Jesus said, give us this day, Moses' language. Moses' language in Genesis chapter 2 for the Lord's day. Moses' language in Genesis 2. Hallelujah. On the seventh day, the Lord rested. In fact, if you read Genesis 2, it's called that it is man that rested on the Lord's day. So Moses beautifully writes that to us in Genesis chapter 2. So look at Genesis 2 quickly. Let's begin to move towards the, as we round up today, Genesis 2. He says, on verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made. Who rested in verse 3? Is man that rested in God's work? Because he, the man, rested in God's work. So the seventh day is not Sunday, it's not Saturday, it's not Monday. Let me see Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. No, the seventh day is the Lord's day. That is Moses' way of writing what? Moses' way of writing salvation. You call it the Lord's day, the seventh day. Do you understand me? When man will rest in the works of God. So in the law, Moses will now have the Sabbath day as the seventh day to signify. That is why on the Sabbath day they don't walk, they don't go anywhere, because just to show that in the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, which is the day of Christ's resurrection, that seventh day, Sabbath day, was a prefiguring. I mean, it was a prefiguring of the resurrection. On that day, man will not walk. In salvation, do you walk?
No.
But salvation produces a walk. Did you get that? You don't walk to get salvation. So Moses prefigures that on the seventh day. So it's Moses' language, the Lord's day. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
so Christ's day is the new birth. So what is he saying in Matthew 6? He says, give us this day our daily bread, right? He says, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. That translation is actually a bad translation. Forgive us our debts, so we forgive our debtors. Hallelujah. So what is Moses, what is Christ saying? He's saying that on Christ's day, which is on the day of the new birth, right, in the resurrection, you would mirror
Christ's forgiveness in the way you forgive others. You will mirror Christ's forgiveness in the way you forgive others. So forgiveness will not be a walk in salvation. Are you following me? Forgiveness will not be a walk in salvation. You know, there are some dirty minds. I call it dirty minds for today. Who will tell you, I can only forgive you, but I can never forget? You're not mirroring Christ's forgiveness. If you say, I've forgiven, I've not forgotten, then you have not forgiven. That word forgiveness is the word aphesis. Aphesis means a total taking away, a total blotting out. Are you hearing me? It's totally taking away plus the scars. He said, you know what you've done to me is a scar for me forever. You're becoming a tunzu. You say that. What is this? Is a scar in me forever. You broke my heart. My heart is mended. We should make a prayer. My heart is mended. Sure. Are you hearing me? Don't break my heart. Oh, you smash it and grind it. I hear somebody say, if you leave me, I'm going to drink poison. Eventually, the person will leave and will not drink poison. You see your life. I need to drink. Say, if you leave me, I'll drink poison. Most, see, 99.9% out of almost anybody that says that, always, they always leave that person. And you know, I don't see people going to take poison. Try it now. Maltmaker. So, the sister, when I tell you, the guy is telling you, not brother, the guy is telling you, if you don't accept, I'm going to die. Die. Hallelujah. How are you? Let's come back. But I tell you first, should I give you room? But you know, she loves God to share that body in her heart. So, we mirror Christ's forgiveness in the way we forgive others. Hallelujah. So Jesus writing about this, you know, when they came to meet him, someone came to meet him and said, how many times must my brother offend me five for him? And he said, 7 times what? 70 times in a day. You must be a demon to count 70 times in a day. So he's telling you that, oh God, forgiveness is your new language. That's what Jesus is saying. That's like, you just forgive. You are a demon if you count 70 times. 70 times, in fact, for you to multiply it, attack on you. This is number one. I now started for 490. You are that person. You people are demons for 24 hours. No, you are the bigger demon, 24 hours. Because the person has time to offend you 490 times. You have the right to count it. You are not born again. So what Jesus is saying is, forgiveness is total. It's total. There's no halfway forgiveness. Say, I forgive you. But you know, whenever I see your face, it comes back. You are not born of God. When you forgive, it is eternal. Are you hearing me? When you forgive someone of a wrong as a believer, we're talking about walking in the spirit. The second is like unto the first. We know we entered. We'll enter next week. But I'm just giving us some tips as we enter into walking in the spirit. Or what to walk in. Are you hearing me? So, as a believer, walking in the spirit is walking in forgiveness. You will walk in forgiveness. So, you know, whenever I just see your face, that thing just comes like a flash. How did this? How you chop my money? And you are born of God. He said, I'm forgiving you, but I can't forget how you betrayed me. No. You are not portraying Christ's love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I don't think he has forgiven me. He's still waiting for resurrection. Right? It's the resurrection of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's look at Matthew 5. Verse 43. Matthew 5:43.
just a chapter before where we are. He says, you've read, it was said to you, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemies. This is the entolio. Remember what I read from John 13. Love one another. So in loving one another, you forgive. Are you hearing me? Loving one another, you must walk in forgiveness. All manner of wrong, you must forgive. Is it difficult?
Well, it's simple. Just forgive.
Are you hearing me? Walk in love and damn the consequences. They'll say you are weak, yes. But you're just walking in love. You're just walking in your own. Is it hard? No, it's simple. Just walk in my own. When you see a believer that is hard for that person to believe, that person is not praying. You will see a believer who doesn't pray. When you see a believer who seeking clutch, you see a believer who doesn't flow with the Spirit.
Next week.
Okay. When he says in verse 3, you've heard, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I said to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Is Jesus contradicting what he said? No. But he said, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. Jesus said, no. Love your enemies, pray for those who spitefully persecute and use you. Is Jesus contradicting what he said? No. Jesus is only explaining what Moses said. We've done this study before, right? We've done this study before. When we went back to Deuteronomy, our son, hallelujah. Moses will use nations who fight them to point to them as enemies. Why is Moses pointing to those nations as enemies? He's pointing to those nations as enemies because those nations are opposing them, and he's using it to what? Prefigure the devil. So from the words of Christ, we see that what the enemy is actually what? The devil. So when he says love your enemy, he's changing their thinking, because Moses used that nation to prefigure the devil. And to follow me, Moses used that nation to prefigure the enemy, which is the devil, Satan, right? Now, because of sclerocardia, unbelief, they are now seeing individuals as enemies. You understand me? Are you following me? Aha. They're not seeing unbelievers, they're not seeing individuals as enemies. Whereas, that is a prefiguring. Are you following me? So Jesus now says, hey, you know what? Love your enemies. Meaning, those people you are thinking they are your enemies, love them. Because the enemy Moses was pointing to you was who? The Satan. Are you following that? So now say, love your enemies. Pray for those who do what? Spitefully use and persecute you. So what is Jesus pointing out to them? Jesus is pointing out to them that man, according to Pastor Shelby, you say man is an object of love. Man is an object of love. He's the symbol of God's love in the earth. Man is the symbol of God's love in the earth. I am. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 45. He now says in verse 45, that says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his son rise on evil and the good, and sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Were they sons of God yet?
No.
But he's writing post-resurrection facts. This is what will happen in the new birth. That in this attitude, you are showing forth yourself as the sons of God in the new birth. Meaning the new birth will produce this attitude. You love your enemies and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Not because somebody is spitefully using and persecuting you, not because you say, oh God, where are my enemies? Let them begin to die. But we're not satisfied. To the course of the village of the town, wherever they are, if you come to the state to not be well with them, to not be well with them. In the name of Jesus. You will not be well with them. Because they said, not be well with my generation, not be well with their generation. They will die and they shall fall on the floor like the dust of the earth. In the name of Jesus. You know, you are not afraid. They shall fall like the dust of the earth. They shall fall. Because they will not make it, they will not make it. Yet they will die. In the name of Jesus. That mighty name of Jesus.
That name of Jesus is the name that saves. How can you not use the name that saves? That name that the name that brings men from dark, from darkness to light, from death to life. You're not using it to kill. That is the name for salvation, not the name for damnation. I am me. So man is an object of love.
Hallelujah.
So it's wrong. We'll get to see that next week. It's wrong for you to pray for somebody to die. We'll see it on the scriptures. We'll go through scriptures together. Say, where are you? If I hear somebody say, my ministry is for men to die. My ministry, my ministry is for men. Imagine, he now pointed at the pastor and I said, you have love shed abroad in your heart. A minister of God. That they have the anointing.
Hallelujah.
He said, whenever I begin to talk about enemies of that, my bishop here will always say, no, Lord. No, but that is his calling. But I have a calling from the Lord. My call from the Lord is every enemy will die. One day, let me go to the final. Die. That name that she said, that name that should say,
hallelujah.
Let me begin to die in the name of Jesus. In the name, look at your contradiction. And yet you go to meet a man who is not born again, and you say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower where the righteous run into and they are saved. And you tell another person that by mentioning the name of Jesus, you are brought from death to life. And yet you are saying another should die in that same name. What a contradiction. And that is why those who pray that way have never seen the result from that prayer.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Okay. Okay, let's flow. Someone asked me, have you prayed that way?
Yeah.
And I said, I'll reply, I've not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In my years of wandering in misery, I didn't allow that to get into the way.
Hallelujah.
And that too, I will never get there. That is the point of no return. The point for no return. Sorry to say that. I know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. So, where are we?
Verse 45. So these words they will find as life in the new birth, right? Okay, let's just close this here. Let's go back to John. It was from John that we came here. Right?
John 13. We flowed from John to this place.
John 13, 34. It says, and a new commandment. Now that word commandment is the word entole.
Entole. A new commandment I give to you that you love your neighbor. Right?
That you love one another as I've loved you. Right?
That you also love one another. Now, he uses the word entole. Entole is a word used in Matthew 28 verse 20, which is teaching them to observe all that commanded him. The word is in Matthew 28:20 for what the disciples would observe from Christ's words. Right? Matthew 28:20. Now, the word implies an instruction or a charge. An instruction. I've just seen one, forgiveness. Right? An instruction or a charge. And where is that forgiveness? In love. Is in the walk in love that you find forgiveness. Are you hearing me?
Glory to God. We explain all that. Going into next week and upper week, we look at all that. Hallelujah.
So, look at what he says in chapter 13, that same book. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He wrote, John in this part, John wrote the two, he wrote the two commandments, and he uses a word. Now he says, he wrote the two commandments for us, and he said, from the words of Jesus, he says, as I have loved you, you love one another. Now what is he writing? That your love for one another will flow, will be mirrored, and it will mirror my love for you. You don't understand that? And my love for you will be seen in the new birth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So this is what, love one another as I have loved you. So this love will mirror Christ's love, which is salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second is like unto the first. So we will love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:9. He said, in this love is manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 10 now says, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. Because if God so loved us, we ought to love one another.
This is where John is writing the same thing here. Hallelujah. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. 1 John 4:9-11.
Hallelujah. So what it says in verses 9, in this love, of the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. That word manifest is the word that implies to bring to light, to cause to appear. Hallelujah. To cause to appear. Meaning the love of God, hallelujah, is seen in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is the love of God. Hallelujah. The love of God is seen in Christ's redemption work. That is the love of God expressed to man. Paul said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ died. So that is the love of God expressed to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So let's move up a bit. If you look at John 14, verse 15. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. You know, last week I showed us that if you love me, you keep my commandment would be John 14:1, right? Right? Can we proceed? Now, we want to extend that. Because we say chapter 13, 14, 15, 16 into 17 flows together. It's the same teaching from 13 to 15 to 16. It's the same message. Are you hearing me? So, now that means keeping his commandment will be John 14:1, right? Believe. And will it also be John 13:34-35? Right? Will it also be John 13:34-35? Yes. Are you hearing me? So, we will have John 14:1, faith in God, John 13:34-35, love for all men, which will proceed from what? The love of God. Are you following that? Okay. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 21 and 23 of John 14. He said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Is that John 14:1?
Yes, sir.
Is that John 14 1? That is faith in God. Don't miss it all. That is faith in God, right? Right? I say, and will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Manifest myself to him with the what? The indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Right? Right? Okay. Follow me fast. Verse 23. Jesus said to me, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come and make our home with him. Is that faith in God or love to all men? Faith in God, right? Faith in God. And we said faith in God produces what? Brings about what? The new birth, right? Okay. Glory to God. Look at John 15. There's something very important here. We begin to round off. John 15. I've said that the third time. It will be the last time. John 15 verse 10 into 12. Now John brings in the two, and he makes us see it clearly. He said, if you keep my commandment, you remember he has been talking about them differently. In chapter 13, he spoke about love for all men. Chapter 14, faith in God. Look at chapter 15, it brings in the two. Verse 10, he said, if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and I abide in his love. Is that faith in God? Okay, let's continue. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Is that love to all men? Is that love to all men? So he mentions commandments two times, and he mentions two different. So, but we have seen that the love, that the verse 12 will proceed from what? Because of verse 10. Do you see that? He brings in the two. In his epistles, he helps us take it home. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. He brings in the two. So meaning these two must work together. Faith in God and love to all men. If you have love for men, if you have love for men without faith in God, if the deuteros does not come from the proton, meaning you are just showing love up and down. You know what I mean? You are just showing love up and down. You are not different from an NGO. Do you understand me? Non-profit making organization. You're not different from Save Our Soul. You are not different from those who are doing Bring Back Our Girls. You're not different from Kano Heart Foundation. Neither are you different from, you understand me? You're not different from charity organization. Let's go to SOS. Without the foster, I'm not saying that SOS is wrong, but watch my little. Without the proton, if it is not proceeding from the proton, what you'll be doing is what? I want to celebrate my birthday. I want to do it in order to do at least God will see my heart. And there's no foster. You only have God to see. Your bum come. Let's look at Bible. Do you understand? Are you following me?
Yes. Just follow me well.
First John 4. So the deuteros must proceed from the proton. The second is like unto the first. The second came from the first. I am. Because you see people who hear my dad say that a Muslim guy is weak. I didn't tell him that. I said, you see this guy is weak. And when was I telling you that? I go home one day and I said, see, let me tell you. This guy, I'm not showing his bad side. You show your bad side. This guy is good. He will be bring here all the way from Abuja. You bring him to the house. You will be bite. You know those good gesture.
Yeah.
Oh, he says he's a good guy. Funny enough, he's just a good man. Just a good guy. Cool, he's good. But you know, when the guy now died, I don't call him, I say, see, this guy is in a fire. it was actually done systematically. I said, this guy is in a fire. He said, why was it? I said, because he's not born again.
That is the first and the only thing that counts. And it was quiet. So the second must proceed from the first. Hallelujah. Okay. We are home already. First John. I don't want to say, let's begin to drag it to. We are home already. First John. John. First John 4, verses 19 to 21. I don't want to jump to 21. Let's just look at from verse 19. Okay, let's jump to 20. If someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. Are you hearing me? So, you cannot love and hate. We will see that as we proceed. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? For this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother
also.
Which is the also? Which is the also, the brother? He who loves God, right? Must love his brother also. Meaning, the love for men will proceed from. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Praise God.
Okay. So, John beautiful writes for us to see the pattern that what our walk in love flows from salvation. Did you get that? Our walk in love flows from where? Salvation. Are you following me? It flows from salvation. Meaning, we now live out what happened to us in the new birth. What happened to us in the new birth is God's love. Hallelujah. We believe in that and we receive God's love. So it now flows. Now believes to me. It will flow down to our relationship in all spheres of life. How we walk with people. Hallelujah. How we walk with men. Glory to God. It flows. Hallelujah. This will flow also into how the apostles will write. They will write about our faith in God as identification. And then our walk in love. We'll see. And then the apostles will write about our walk in love. Glory to God. Galatians 5. From verse 7 to 17. But we'll just run our reading on. Let's just read that verse. Let's just look at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Look at what verse 16 says. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Look at verse 13. Into 14. It says, for you, brethren, have been called into liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but truly observe one another. For did you see that? You've been called into liberty, but true love do what? Serve one another. Hallelujah. So the believer's walk in the Spirit is a walk in love. Look at verse 14, Galatians 5. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in the word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself proceeds from the word proton, right? Glory to God. Paul writes to them this way because of what he has told them in chapter 3, you have begun in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So to be born again is to begin in the Spirit. So he now says, love.
If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say, walk in the Spirit.
So what is he saying?
I say, walk in the Spirit, walk in love.
Verse 13, sorry. Hallelujah.
Walk in love.
So walk in the Spirit is walking in love. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and God saying an action of love is an action of forgiveness. Hallelujah.
Yes,
today we looked at that. Forgive one another. Hallelujah. Forgive one another. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
so when it says walk in the Spirit, it means to walk to love one another.
Look at verse 16. It says, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. It does have joy, peace, long suffering.
We're going to get to look at the other eight. Hallelujah. It's, Paul is not saying the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit is love. No. Paul is saying the fruit of the Spirit is love. And he's talking about love all this while. Hallelujah. But the walking love will have joy, will have patience. Are you hearing me? You have long suffering, which is patience. You have self-control, you have meekness, you have faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So use the word fruits. That is the word kapos. Kapos. Kapos.
It is used for the result of the work. It is used for the result of the work. The result of the work. In John 15, verse 1 to 5, that word is used fruit. It will bear fruit. And it's used as the result of the work of the Spirit in us. Say, I'm the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears fruit, the Father prunes. The branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father takes off. Right? Takes off is to take care of. That is the word. The Father takes care of. So that is the result of the walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit. I mean, that is the result of the walk of the Spirit in us. Sorry. The result of the walk of the Spirit in us in the new birth. So the new birth is the walk of the Spirit. So when it says, we'll bear fruit, every branch in me that bears fruit. To bear fruit is to. Is love. So the Father proves that it will bear much more fruit. So the much more fruits will now be joy, peace, patience, kindness, long suffering. We'll get to see that as we progress. Maybe in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So love is the result of the work of the Spirit in us. Love is our nature. Hallelujah. So we can say Christianity is the call to walk in the Spirit. Christianity is the call to walk in the Spirit. Is the call to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Christianity is the call to walk in the love of God. In God's love. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
so it's a walk in God's love. Hallelujah. What I just did just now?
Just showed you.
Because for your phone to ring the service, you need to walk in love. You walk in love, you switch on your phone. That you don't distract us.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God.
Have you learned something today?
Are you sure you've learned something today? Talk to someone and share what you've learned.